From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Maynard Villers reading The Russian River by Gary McCarthy, another installment in the Rivers West series. Now let's begin with a prologue to The Russian River. Anton Rostov wiped the stinging salt spray from his eyes. He stared out across the choppy and frigid Gulf of Alaska and felt a hardening westerly wind cut at his sealskin parka. It was almost sunset, and the light was dying, barely sufficient to penetrate the gray Alaskan fog. All of his attention was fixed on the Aleuts and their two-man skin kayaks called Baidarkas. There were only 5 boats remaining in the water, but they had been hunting since daybreak and had managed to harpoon only 12 sea otters, not enough to be allowed to return to the big 2-masted Russian schooner, not even in the face of the weather front that was sweeping in from the storm-tossed Pacific. Anton glanced to the foredeck, where his captain, Vasily Tarakanov, stood as rooted as the mast. Tarakanov was in his early 50s, stout, double-chinned, and single-minded. His heavy beard was flattened against his face by the wind, and his gloved hands clenched the oaken wheel. His expression revealed a hardness born of the many years he had sailed these treacherous, stormy waters for the Russian-American Company out of Sitka, Alaska. Years before, when the otters had been plentiful off the Aleutian Islands to the north, he had been shipwrecked one winter and survived 6 months of bone-numbing darkness. His hair had turned white and his teeth had fallen out, but he had survived, and the company had rewarded him with a Russian medal and a ship of his own to command. "He will not call the Aleuts in," Anton told himself. "Not even when the sleet comes and the ocean spray freezes their faces and blinds them. Not even when they are like little bobbing blocks of ice. No, not even then will he call them in." One of the harpoon-wielding hunters suddenly motioned toward the south, and the Aleuts churned their double-bladed paddles silently across the dark, roiling waters.
"Captain!" Anton shouted. "I see Arthur to the south!"
Tarakanov purposely chose to ignore him and the Aleuts, who were flying across the water toward their quarry. Anton felt his frozen cheeks warm with embarrassment and anger. He forced himself to pivot toward the rail and grip it with his gloved hands. Of course the captain would not recognize him. The ignorant old fool was too proud to acknowledge that a man half his age might have better eyes. A full 2 minutes passed, and the Aleuts almost disappeared into the heaving sea that was threatening to swallow them whole. Anton seethed. He and Tarakanov had disliked each other from the first moment. It was a matter of social rank. Tarakanov lacked it from birth. Anton possessed it from birth. Their mutual dislike was that simple and that insurmountable. Just when the Aleuts were disappearing into the face of the storm, Tarakanov turned the wheel, and the sloop sluggishly rolled about to port. Its sails caught the wind, and the vessel yawed hugely, then drove its bow deep into the water and began to race after the Aleuts until the Baidarkas were finally sighted about a mile ahead. Anton moved to the bow as the Aleuts fought to bring themselves into the killing formation just downwind of what appeared to be a large group of sea otters. It was all the Aleuts could do to keep from capsizing. They were clothed in the waterproof skin of the sea lion, and each one had lashed his jacket to a ring around the small opening in which he sat, so that not a single drop of water could enter his baidarka. It had never ceased to amaze Anton how these men could sit motionlessly for 10 to 15 hours, waiting for a kill. But nothing was motionless now. The howling wind grew louder and stronger by the minute until it was blowing the Baidarkas around like leaves on a pond. Despite their best efforts, the rear paddlers were having a difficult time bringing their little skin boats close to the otters so that the harpoon men could strike with their long bone spears. The otters had dived, but they would soon be forced to surface.
"Look at the spear throwers!" a sailor shouted into the wind. "See how they hover like a dog at the first scent of game!"
Anton said nothing. He stared, fascinated by the drama, even though he knew the inevitable outcome. The hunters, raised to survive and kill on the water, almost never missed. And now they forged into position, spears held motionless until suddenly the otters popped to the surface, just their heads and shoulders pushing above the water. Anton did not hear the Aleut imitate the distressed cry of a baby sea otter, but he did see the adult animals turn with alarm. In that instant, the spears were hurled from their throwing sticks, and Anton almost felt the pain of the otter.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?